Good morning. Glad that you're here today. It's good to see you and be able to worship together, to turn our minds and hearts heavenward, and also to open God's Word together. I invite you to get a Bible and join us as we'll be studying for a little while from what God has said to us and on the passage that Brother Seth has read for us in just a moment. We want to welcome our visitors here today. We appreciate that you're present. We hope that you can come back and join us other times, and if we can be of service to you and the things of God, we certainly extend ourselves and look forward to getting better acquainted with you. So if you're a member here, we're encouraged by your presence. We value that and understand that each of us have a place. Each of us have a work and a responsibility, and it's good to see you, and look forward to seeing you again tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll continue our study from Matthew chapter 3 this evening. I invite you back at that time. I'd like for us to spend a little while this morning looking at the passage, 2 Timothy 20 through 23, begin, as we talk about vessels of honor, as mentioned in that passage, we want us to carefully see that as the apostle talks about these vessels of honor, that underlying it is a decision that must be made. We will decide what kind of vessel we are in the house of God. Life is full of decisions. Some of them are rather mundane, and some are critically important. And of course, the most important of all is the decision to become a Christian, to be saved from my past sins, and then to live faithfully to Jesus Christ the rest of my life. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we want to urge you, we want to plead with you with the pleading of God, to get right with God, to exercise a faith that you have that Jesus is God's Son, obey Him. Make the decision to be saved from your past sins, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith and be baptized into Jesus so that His blood will wash your sins away. And then the decision that is a companion of that is the decision to live faithfully to Jesus. From that day forward, from this moment forward, to serve God in His house in an honorable way. But you see, if we're not careful, sometimes we treat the more mundane decisions as more important, and those that are most important as less. I think Aaron hit the nail on the head this morning when he said, in reminding us of the eating the supper, our minds would be focused upon Jesus and His sacrifice for us and all the other things of life that we rightly has a place in our lives should be set aside at that moment as we think about and remember the death of Jesus. In some very real similarities, we have to be willing, because we are able, we have to be willing to assign propriety to the choices and decisions of our lives. We have to make decisions that have eternal effects upon us. And decisions in God's house as to how we will serve in the house. Will we serve God at all in an honorable way as He wants us to in His house? And so that's the underlying point of this lesson this morning, is there are many vessels in a house, and some of them are for honor, and some of them are for dishonor, and we want to build upon that to try to see what that means for you and me in the house of God. Growing up, we didn't have a garbage disposal. We had a slop bucket, and it was underneath the... I know, that's pretty dishonorable, isn't it? But it was a necessary container. I mean, we needed it, but it didn't have much honor. And, you know, we'd put the scraps and things in there, and then we'd go out back and discard it. Of course, then you'd have other vessels that serve other purposes. And all of our houses have that. We have the pots to cook in and coffee cups. Then we have the waste basket, the trash can, or the disposal bin.
for the garbage pickup, such as that. All of our houses have different vessels in them. The question that Paul raises, or point that Paul raises, in a large house, you're going to find some vessels of value that are very valuable, like gold and silver that are given and serve these particular purposes that are consistent with how they're made up. On the other hand, wood and clay vessels would have an entirely different function. Now, point to note here is we choose what type of vessel we're going to be in the Lord's house. We're going to make a choice as to whether or not we will be esteemed, that is, of value, or whether we will be contemptible. Be of that which is not of value to the Master. Now, of course, the church is the Lord's house, isn't it? House of God, which is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Hebrews 3 and 6, whose house we are. It says, if we hold fast the confession of our faith firm to the end, we are the house of God, but we must hold firm, steadfast to our confession. We choose then, will we be a vessel of honor? Will we be a container that brings honor, that is brings esteem to our Master? Or will we be dishonorable? What kind of a person is a vessel of honor? What kind of Christian is that? How can I be a vessel of honor in the house of God? And bring glory to the Master, to the owner of the house, to our Father in heaven, to His Son Jesus Christ. What can I do? Verse 21 gives us four things. Talks about four things in this context. Let's look at it. First of all, this vessel of honor purges himself from sin. I guess what I want to suggest to you is, see, becoming a Christian, then we have a choice to make. You see, will I be a vessel of honor or of dishonor? Just being saved from my past sins does not automatically, in this illustration Paul is using, make me a vessel of honor. I have to make a choice that I'm going to be one who is honorable in the house of God. And that requires a purging from my sin. Look, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. Now, in the latter, back up into verse 20, and he's talking about that which is dishonorable, that which is contemptible. We have to cleanse ourselves from that. Purge ourselves. You see, God cleanses us, but we cleanse ourselves. We make a choice. Peter called upon the lost on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves. In a similar way, once we have obeyed the gospel and been baptized, then we deliberately decide to put away the sins, the particular sins of our lives, to purge or cleanse ourselves. We have to, according to this passage, shun profane babblings, verses 16 through 18. You see, keep this in context, all the way back to verse 14, actually, and even beyond that, but Paul is urging and reminding Timothy about to study the Word of God and to use it diligently so as to avoid sin and error and strife where there's no profit, but to hold fast and rightly divide the word of truth in a right way, and then shun profane and idle babblings, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. Part of purging myself from sin is being careful of what I say and how I say it, and what the basis of what I say is about. Am I going to use the word of truth as a worker in a right way that's going to advance the cause of truth and righteousness? Don't be like Hymenaeus and Philetus, you see, who were teaching error, saying the resurrection had already passed. Folks, that's profane babblings. That's talk, that's teaching that will cause people to be lost, overthrowing their faith, If I'm going to purge myself, one of the things I've got to do is to be careful that what I'm teaching is right. You know, some people say, well, what you teach is not that important, but it most certainly is. If I'm going to be in God's house as a vessel of honor, or if you're going to be a vessel of honor, then you and I have to be careful that we speak the right things. That we speak the word of truth and not lead people into those things that destroy faith. I have to depart from iniquity. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of the Lord stands, having this seal. Here is a mark of authentication. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I cannot be of Christ and live in sin. I'm showing myself to be opposite of Jesus. I don't have a mark of authentication if I am violating the will of Christ in my life. And so he says, if I'm going to be a vessel of honor, then I'm going to be careful not to walk in lawlessness. Iniquity is lawlessness. So I'm going to be careful that, going back to verse 15, the word of truth becomes standard of my life. Verse 22 will go on to say, flee youthful lusts. Also, flee also youthful lusts. So in purging from sin, there's a deliberate decision to get away from those things that would draw one into defilement. Pursue after righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, these become the practical areas of life every day, because you're going to be tested every day with lust of the flesh. Every day, the lust of the eyes. There are going to be things in this world that are going to get your attention. Will you be drawn to that and as a result not be a vessel of honor in God's house? Or will you purge yourself of those things? Refuse foolish and ignorant questions. Verse 23. Here's another way to purge ourselves of sin, or cleanse ourselves so that we will be vessels of honor. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. The ignorant and foolish disputes are very often those that will elevate ourselves and promote ourselves begin to defend ourselves rather than defending truth. You see, that's the contrast, verse 15, with 14 and 16 and also 23. So Paul and he goes on to talk about humility and being a servant of the Lord and all those traits there in 24 through 26. Fundamental point, if I'm going to choose to be a Christian, if I'm going to choose to be a vessel, and we're all vessels now in the house of God, then unless the vessel is purged of defilement, then we're not going to be a vessel of honor. I mean, who wants to eat out of a dirty plate? You see? So is our life, though, being offered to the master of the house in a defiled way? Are we offering ourselves to God in defilement? And expect God's going to use us and that we're going to be useful to Him? But we present to Him a life of sin, a life of neglect, a life of lust? No. We won't be honorable at all. We won't be fit for the Master's use. So, just like we don't put trash into fine china, we're not to put sin into our heart. Now, there's a place for trash, but it's not on the china. And God says, your heart's not the place for sin. So He says, purge yourself, cleanse yourself, flee the lusts, verse 21, cleanse yourself of the defilement, and grow as a result. You know, part of the purging of sin is so that we can grow. We get rid of the weeds so the crop can grow, and we purge our hearts, cleanse ourselves in righteousness, so we can be useful to the Master. Look with me, please, in James 1 and 21. Now, he says there, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So there is the real possibility that there may be filthiness or wickedness within me. And he says, lay it aside. He says, remove it. And receive with meekness the implanted word that's able to save your souls. So here's the deliberate decision process we were talking about at the beginning. We have to examine ourselves and see that if there is filthiness, if there's shamelessness, or shamefulness, I should say, if there's obscenity of sin and wickedness in our hearts and in our lives, he says, remove it so that you can grow to salvation. Peter says a similar thing in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice. See, malice prevents us being a vessel of honor. I hold malice in my heart and bitterness in my heart towards somebody. I'm not going to be useful in the master's house. I'm not going to be a vessel of honor, of esteem before God. He said, lay aside all deceit, lying and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. The things that come out of our mouths that are hurtful and harmful and destructive toward others shows a heart that's full of sin. So he said, purge the heart. Purge those things. Put them away, and as newborn babes, desire or long for the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby unto salvation. The growth can happen when the purging occurs. Now, the purging is possible because of the blood of Jesus. That's what enables us to purge our hearts. To have the grace of God by grace through faith. And so the application of our faith is this matter of purging ourselves of sin instead of continuing in it. Because continuing in sin is incompatible with the grace that we've received in Christ. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6, 1 and 2. Unfortunately, some of the doctrines of men allow that. Some of the doctrines of men teach that, in effect, that because God's grace is greater than sin, that they've concluded that we can continue in sin, can continue behaving in sin, and grace will abound. God says that's not right. Christ Jesus, through His apostle, says certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? No, He says now we're supposed to be servants of righteousness. Look at verse 12 with me. Romans 6 and 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in all of its lusts. See, decision time. Decision time. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You've been baptized into Christ, He says, and raised to walk in newness of life, but you have to decide, don't let sin reign in your body. That is, purge your heart. You move it from your heart, remove it from your heart, you purge your body, your members of the sin. Now, going back to that verse, in verse 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Vessels of honor. Vessels that have purged the sin so now we can be useful in the house of God, valuable to the Master. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. See, because the very fact that we are under grace does not mean that sin should abound, but that sin should no longer have dominion. See, because grace reigns, sin must be put to death and not reign any longer. So, purging sin. That's the person who's going to be a vessel of honor. Secondly, the one who is sanctified. Let's go back to our text. 2 Timothy 2 now, and verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Of course, we know what the word means, to be set apart or set aside for special uses. In the Old Testament, God sanctified many things. He taught Israel that unless they approached Him in holiness, consecrated, set apart, that He would not receive service from their hands. In the Old Testament, just as an example, the Old Testament priests were sanctified. A lot of these verses are found in Exodus 29, as well as other places. The priests and the tabernacle were consecrated to God. The altar upon which the burnt offerings were made was set apart, was sanctified or consecrated for that purpose, as were the sacrifices themselves. In Exodus 25, described as being consecrated, sanctified. The Sabbath day was sanctified. Nehemiah 13:22. God set apart the seventh day for particular purposes as a memorial. Deuteronomy 5:15, as a day of rest. And remember, God delivered them from bondage. The nation itself, Exodus 19, was set apart to be a holy nation. Separated. Now, God uses that concept of sanctified and He says, you, Christian, are a saint. Paul was writing to the saints, to the sanctified, in 1 Corinthians 1:2. We are set apart from the world, called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. The gospel does that. God using it to call us out, and now we are set apart for His use, for His honor. We're His own special people. Now, consequently, we are to be servants of righteousness unto sanctification, unto holiness. There's that verse, Romans 6. Because you see, it goes on to talk about that in verses 19 through 22. As Paul builds his case and demonstrates clearly that when we are Christians, now we are to live a life that is separate from sin, that sin doesn't reign over us. Now the Lord reigns over us and righteousness reigns, and we're servants of righteousness. And in 19, he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, your body, as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more unlawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness unto sanctification, unto holiness. You see, in the sin of the world, our bodies were used to serve sin. That's really what he's saying. We were not vessels of honor, but of corruption. Now he says, now, being in Christ, now, having put away sin, being baptized into the death of Jesus, now our bodies are to serve righteousness. Why? Unto sanctification, unto holiness. Leading to holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Serving sin, there's no righteousness present. You see how foolish it is for us to believe, to convince ourselves, or allow ourselves to be convinced that I can serve God partly and the world partly, sin some of the time. It says, no, when we serve sin, we're dead concerning righteousness. We're free. That is, there is no righteousness there. What fruit did you have in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Death when I serve sin. But now, having been set free from sin and become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Fruit that is unto holiness. God's will is our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4. God's will for the use of our body is a holy use. And so, to come back to our figure of a vessel of honor, first we cleanse the heart. And then we use our bodies in holy ways, in God-approved ways, in ways that serve righteousness. Whether it's using our bodies to assemble with the saints to worship God, whether it's using my tongue to give words of encouragement or instruction or rebuke of sin, whether I am using my body as a parent to train my child, or as a child to obey my parents, as a father or a mother. You see, the use of our body is because the heart has been purged of sin, and we are set apart now to this service that honors God, that fulfills His will, achieves His purposes of holiness and honor for us, His people, in His house.
God does not want defilement in His house.
Now, we have to be useful for the Master. Who is the vessel of honor? He's the one who's useful to the Master. When we become Christians, we decide we want to serve God. We want to be useful to the purposes of God. Do we think about our life in those ways? Do we? Because really, we, you know, on a job, we probably think, you know, how can I be effective in my job? Now, we might just think, you know, I'll just show up, put in my time, and leave. Well, that's not the best attitude as a worker. We ought to be wanting to be effective in whatever job we're doing. And my point is, what about as Christians? When I become a child of God, when I'm added to the house of God, now, is it that I want to be useful to the Master? Because you see, every one of us can be useful. It's really not a point of that some of us can't be useful. Every one of us can be useful. Every one of us do have and have been blessed with abilities and talents. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, talents being money in that text. He gave one man 5 talents, another 2, and another 1 according to their ability. So the Master gave His goods to His servants to use those goods for the benefit of the Master. And those who used what He gave them were blessed by the Master. God has given every one of us blessings, abilities, and opportunities, and therefore responsibility to be useful to the Master. If we're not being useful to the Master, we're not a vessel of honor. We're not serving His purposes. So, to try to assess, am I a vessel of honor in the house of God? Have I purged my life of sin? Am I careful and cautious not to give place to sin? Do I understand I'm set apart to serve holiness? And so the choices of life that I make, I'm going to be careful that they do not draw me into sin. I'm going to flee evil lust. I'm going to pursue the good things of God and keep a pure heart. Am I going to then use myself in ways that benefit the Master? I've got to do that. I've got to set my priorities. Now, we talked last week about counting the cost some. And those who made some excuses, even before that in the same text in Luke 14, some people made excuses to be excused from the great supper that the Master had prepared and invited them to. But then they made excuses not to come. If I'm going to be a vessel of honor, if you're going to be a vessel of honor, we have to have a priority that we want to be used by God. Not to serve ourselves. Not to view Christianity as something that accommodates me. But to set the priority so that I accommodate myself to the will of God. I conform myself to the image of Christ in my attitudes, in my values, in the choices daily that I make of what I'm going to pursue. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added. So you see, in that real sense, the job, you know, the clothing, the car, the house, the material things, even the relationships of life become secondary to seeking first the kingdom of God. And then live those things and put those things in their proper place. And then you'll be useful to God. Then you'll be useful. You've got to have a ready mind, willing mind. The readiness is there. It's acceptable according as a man hath, not according to what he doesn't have. The Master did not judge the one talent man in the same way, on the same amount as he did the 5 talent. He gave more to the 5 talent than he
he held him accountable to that. But he held the one talent man accountable for the one talent he put in his hand. And so, but he wouldn't hit it. He didn't have a ready mind to serve the master. He was driven by fear and doubt, not confidence and trust in doing the master's will and the master being pleased. If our mind is prepared and equipped to do whatever we can do in the kingdom of God, in faithfulness, in truth, and righteousness. Remember, we're serving righteousness. It's not just a matter of saying, well, you know, I did what I thought was right. It's not just saying, well, I was sincere regardless of what it was I did. No, we have a mind ready to do what God's Word says. God's going to accept us based on our ability and opportunity. But we will be useful. We'll be doing what we can do. And we won't just wait till somebody asks us to do it. But we'll put ourselves out there to do everything we can do. And we'll, you know, because our mind is ready, we'll be looking for the things to do. We'll encourage others. They'll help us. They'll spread the kingdom that will honor God. You see, the poor widow didn't have much, but she gave all she had. She was useful. She said, how did God... You know, God didn't need the money, but that woman was useful to God as a godly example and influence to this very moment of time. To this very moment, she continues her life of faith to be useful to teach us about the mind that we must have of depending upon God and of sacrifice and giving of ourselves to Him. See, Mary did what she could. Mark 14, when she anointed Jesus before His death, anointed the body for burial. Some of them, you know, Judas, he complained. He was a thief. He thought the money should have been sold and the money put in the bag because he was stealing from it. But she did what she could, the Lord said. We do what we can. You say, what kind of person is the vessel of honor? He or she does what they can. You see, to honor God, to serve God, to set the priority and then offer the service that's going to benefit God. Now, unfortunately, some don't do that. Unfortunately, there's some in the house of God that choose not to do it. And the Word of God is very clear about that. The Lord's not pleased with that. When by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again that someone teach you. Hebrews 5:12. He said, so again, just being a Christian doesn't mean I'm a vessel of honor. You see, because I was baptized, then everything's all right with me. No. Am I useful to the Master? Have I purged myself of sin? Am I sanctified and set apart to serve the will and purposes of God? Am I, in fact, giving myself to that in my life? If so, then you're a vessel of honor, useful to the Master. Fourthly, finally, you're the kind of person who's a vessel of honor is one who is prepared then. He's equipped for every good work. He's been purged. He's sanctified. He is useful. And so the works that are set before him, the works of God, and by the way, Hebrews 13 talks about the works of God. It says that God make you complete in every good work to do His will. The good works are the things that accomplish His will, the things He's revealed to us. We have to be available when the work needs doing. We have to be available. There is much to do. One of the songs we sing, there is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark the cry for what? Hark the cry for I lost my workers. Goes ringing through the land. Comes ringing through the land. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into harvest. The harvest is many. There's many in the harvest. The laborers are few. We have to be ready when the work needs to be done. That doesn't just accidentally happen. We have to equip ourselves to be prepared.
just like we would for a job, just like we would for a test at school, we prepare ourselves. Start thinking about the idea of vessels a little bit, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that those, and I seem to always come back to the iron skillet. That seems to be something in my memory, I guess. It's burned there, but you have to prepare an iron skillet, don't you, to really use it best? And some of you cooks can explain that more thoroughly to me, but you kind of have to prepare it, don't you, with the grease and over time, you know, it seasons and settles into really cooking like you want it to do. Well, we have to prepare ourselves for use. We have to get ourselves ready. Just like the cook would prepare the vessels for cooking, we have to prepare ourselves by using Scripture. As a Christian, if I'm not preparing my heart with the Word of God, then I'm not guarded against sin. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word, Psalm 119 and 9:6. Young person, you want to prepare yourself and be ready for every good work and put the Word of God into your heart. See, Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. That's our point, every good work. The vessel of honor is ready for every good work. Scripture gets you ready. Knowing it, living it, putting it in your heart, letting it guide you and direct you, letting it be the standard that you live by. Then you're getting ready. God's grace is at work. See, God blesses us with our opportunities. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8 and 9 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You see, when we have all sufficiency, then we are able to abound in good works. As it is written, he who is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. God is the giver. Maybe we need to think more of it in those terms. That it's not that it's not just about you giving something or me giving something, but it's that God has given us and God is giving us. He is giving us the opportunities. He is giving us the capability. He is giving us the blessings to then disperse abroad ourselves. He's dispersed them to us. Now, as a vessel of honor in His house, now we use what He's put into our hands to help others and to honor Him. Paul said on one occasion, through the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul acknowledged it was God who helped him be prepared and helped him then meet the work that needed to be done. You know, we are prepared for the Lord's use over time also. 2 Timothy 4 and 11, Paul talks about and makes a reference to Mark. John Mark, no doubt, who we know Paul had known probably close to 20 years before was when he first got acquainted with Mark. Here he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. See, about 20 years before, Mark was not useful to Paul. Well, in fact, Paul says, I don't want Mark coming with me. In Acts the 15th chapter, when Paul and Barnabas were talking about making another preaching trip, Paul said, don't want Mark to come. Mark turned away the first time. He left us and went back to Jerusalem, went back home. He's not useful to me. But 20 years later, Mark is useful to Paul. Now, point being, over time, if we are faithful disciples, if we are purging ourselves, setting ourselves apart to serve the purposes of God, if we are meeting the opportunities to be useful to God, then that prepares us for even more. It equips us to truly do the good works of God. So, the growth that comes, that time can help us with, helps us be more useful. Are you doing more today than you did 5 years ago, 10, 20 years ago,
Are you more useful to the kingdom, to the Lord, to the master of the house? What are we doing? Or do we have the viewpoint that now over time, my deeds, my work is finished, and it's someone else's time to work? But you see, God says that through time, we are better equipped, better prepared for every good work. And there's probably some work you can do today that you weren't equipped to do 5, 10, 20 years ago. But now you can. Because God prepared you, and you prepared yourself by being faithful to God every day of your life. You see that? The kind of vessel that God says is ready, prepared, equipped for every good work. And remain ready, of course. You see, to remain ready as the opportunities show themselves. What kind of vessel are we in the house of God? The type that we choose to be has eternal consequences. Because if we do not choose to be vessels of honor, purged of sin, sanctified, set apart to God's service, useful to the Master, and ready and prepared for every good work, then the consequence is that the Lord will say, I never knew you. The Lord knows those who were His, verse 19 says. So we're to depart from iniquity. But if we believe, if we in our lives as Christians are living with sin, then the consequence eternally of that will be the loss of our soul. So as Christians, if there's sin in our lives, let's repent. Let's be vessels of honor. Let's make that decision and make it every day to be set apart to God's service and useful to Him, so that the good works that He has prepared for us to walk in will be accomplished to His honor, to His glory. We urge you to become a Christian this morning. In faith, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then being added to the church, be a vessel of honor. As a Christian, correct the sin that's in your life. Be forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Cleansed again. If that's the need of the hour, the need of your life, we urge you to come to respond to the gospel while we stand and sing.